Okay, here we are in part two of the Easy World Citizenship class with Julia Rogers Hamrick. And we are going to start by choosing Easy World because that's where everything starts. Everybody just relax and allow the chair to accept your weight and just get comfy, and let's choose Easy World together. Just repeat to yourself, I choose to live in Easy World where everything is easy. And then just take a nice deep breath and release it and feel any tension you might be holding still, just leaving your muscles, and feel your body relaxing. So relaxing is the second step in the Easy World actions, because when you're relaxed, you're available to be pulled into the amazing electromagnetic field that is Easy World. And then allow just anything that's going on in difficult world, don't concern yourself with it at all. Just let it go on without you. It's none of your business because you're in Easy World, which is an entirely different reality. And allow that powerful magnet that is Easy World to just embrace you, just pull you to it and embrace you. And enjoy the amazing feeling of being in Easy World and knowing that you are firmly ensconced in the divine design for harmony, and that you are being enfolded by your spirit, your personal Easy World guide, and that your well-being is totally supported in Easy World. And you can just relax and appreciate Easy World, and appreciating Easy World takes you deeper and deeper into it. If you're feeling that wonderful Easy World bliss, just say, oh, I love, love, love Easy World. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Easy World, or thank you, Spirit. And just continue to relax in Easy World while we move on with our class. Now, last week I suggested some activities for homework. I know a lot of us have kind of a difficult world association with the concept of homework, but let's just call this an activity or home play, between session play. And the homework assignment number one was going all the way back to before you were born, imagine your own history with Easy World. Now, I'm going to call out the participants' names, and if you have something to share with us about your history with Easy World, please feel free to share it. If I call on you and you don't have anything to share about it right now, that's fine. Just indicate that you're going to pass. Jacqueline, did you think about your Easy World history? Of course, it may be a difficult world history, too. So the Easy World history mixed in with whatever.
I wasn't able to go back to prior to difficult world, but because I actually died when I was 16, that is a really good place for me to start. And what I experienced beyond human life was pure bliss, absolute peace, perfect well-being, and it wasn't just for me, it was for everything. There was a method of communication that didn't involve words, there was just understanding that flowed between sections of consciousness, and everything was supported. And I was aware that there is really no one and nothing that's left out of this completely supportive consciousness that underlies the whole universe. Everything is supported. And there is, when you reach this state of awareness, which I know many people have done without dying, which is a good thing. There's an understanding that all is well always. There's an energy and an awareness that everything serves everyone. And that to me is what I relate to Easy World, to the consciousness of Easy World and the experience of Easy World, is just that understanding that it's all here to support everyone. So there's no need for competition and there's no need for grasping or clinging because it's already here. The only thing that keeps us from experiencing it is fear. And when we're in fear, we don't have the awareness of what is really here. So for me, choosing Easy World is choosing allowing. It's choosing openness. And I know the result of that is coming into that awareness of what is already here to support me in every way.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, I think that what you experienced by having your near-death experience or your, you know, dying and coming back experience, well, I figure that you needed to experience Easy World that way because you were probably very strong and stubborn. So you had to just, like, move on out of the normal world in order to get to Easy World. But you had a powerful experience that can guide your whole life and can always remind you of the energy of Easy World if you were completely and utterly immersed in it in that way. So that's really cool.
I think I did need something that strong because my resistance to life itself was that strong. I didn't want to be here. I had great resistance to living at all, for being in existence. So for me, it took something that powerful to see that there is another side to life and that there is a reason for being here and that it's not all bad. There's so much wonderful, wonderful stuff here. But I was in such heavy resistance that I couldn't see anything positive about life.
Right. You were so, your true vision was being really obscured by your fearful ego. So I think that sometimes, you know, when you die, you depart your ego, and so that when you have that complete experience of Easy World, but like you said, you realize that there's such a great reason to be here in a body too. So embodying and experiencing Easy World as a human being, I just don't think that I don't think that most people would choose to commit suicide if they knew that they could be in Easy World here and now. So that's one of the things that I felt really strongly about getting the message out about Easy World and about the concept of the difficult world dictator. It's kind of like holding your head down underwater. It's like pushing you down into lower vibrational frequency, that if you find the way to drop resistance and move to a higher vibrational frequency, you'll see that life is beautiful. Life is wonderful, and it's so worth living that you'll, you know, recommit to life. Once you have the tools to choose, instead of feeling like you're just stuck in the grip of difficulty. So thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful, Jacqueline. And I know after that, probably nobody's going to want to follow you. But I'll call on people anyway. Cheryl, did you have a chance to think about your history of with Easy World?
Well, I have to say my childhood was basically difficult world. I had, you know, a very dysfunctional family, dysfunctional relationship with my mom, had a hard time making friends, really just wasn't a happy kid, didn't have a lot of support, and I think something inside me has always known about Easy World on some level. There was just something in me that always kept me positive, always kept me prioritizing, and I don't know, just feeling, you know, that I had a choice, that I didn't have to fall apart, you know, because sometimes, you know, I have three brothers, and we didn't all turn out the same way. We all grew up in the same house, but some of us chose difficult worlds, and I have chosen easy worlds, at least. You know, as an adult now, I know what it is. It's easy world. You know, it was not defined for me when I was a kid. But thanks to you, you have defined it. And it's something that I'm going to live by forever now. I mean, it's taught me to prioritize my life. And in any instant, I can, whatever I'm faced with, I can just say, hey, I have a choice. I choose to live an easy world. Boom.
That's beautiful, Cheryl. And, you know, I think that that many, many of us have an obscured past with Easy World. It's harder to remember the beauty and the wonder and the times when we felt all in alignment and felt like everything was easy and all was right with our world, because they're, you know, difficult world is an attention grabber. I mean, difficult world is loud and jarring, and, you know, it's continually demanding our attention. Just not, you know, like easy world just brings you gently into it, but difficult world jerks you back into it and demands your attention. But one thing I would like for us to think about, you know, after this class, is to just see if you can remember a time when you were feeling that harmony and that flow. Maybe it was when you were lying out in your yard and watching the lightning bugs, you know, or you know, sometime when you had a little bit of an easy world experience in your earlier life, because I know they're there, and we can reconnect with our lifelong relationship with Easy World if we make a focus on thinking of those times, if that makes sense. Anyway, thank you very much, Cheryl. Barbara, are you here? I think Barbara didn't get here. Fritz, what about your history with Easy World?
My history with Easy World, I'm going to read you something that I posted on the Easy World Experience. So I'm going to say this. Critics of Easy World, why in Easy World we let go of reality? We take things, hard things, and relax about them. We turn them over to a power greater than our conscious, rational mind. Then we find that we can overcome things easily and effectively. When I'm addicted to my rational mind, to being right, to doing things my own way, then I am critical of Easy World. Difficult World, in some ways, is more familiar. That is why people remain in addictions. They remain in unsatisfying relationships. It can be scary and comfortable to get out of our rut of Difficult World. We tune into whatever reality we choose. We have the choice of being in Easy World or in Difficult World. That's what... in my experiences, sometimes I am in Difficult World, and I have this amnesia, as you said yesterday, to remain in Difficult World because I'm trapped there. But then after a while, I lose this amnesia, and then I go into Easy World.
Yeah, it's Difficult World is an interesting habit to break. I started to say a difficult habit to break. It is. It's a difficult habit to break, I guess, by definition. But there is the addiction, as you're saying. There's an addiction to that reverse polarity energy. And those of you who have read Recreating Eden know what I'm talking about when I say reverse polarity energy. And those who haven't read it can intuit what I'm talking about. It's energy that's in alignment with Difficult World. It's energy moving in the opposite direction, away from the love and toward fear. So it's being pulled. We're being polarized. The energy is being polarized by fear and pulled through us in the direction that leads us toward more fear. And we're very addicted to that because we have learned that that's where the juice is. We've had so much of it in our lives that we feel that that's where we're getting our life force. But it's not life force. It's just a form of energy that's moving.
So some of us have a fear addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's stimulated. There's juice in it. You're right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. People they feel the juice in it. And they have, you know, the thing is, it's like the difference between, let's say, a really cheap tequila and a really fine tequila. The really fine tequila is going to be very, very smooth, and you'll get high on that tequila. But the very, very cheap rot gut tequila, so to speak, is going to give you a real, experience. You're gonna feel it hit you hard, so you know something's happened. I have no idea where a tequila reference came from in my mind, but it just popped in there, so I said it. But it's like we tend to think that we need to have a real smack you upside the head experience for something to be working, or for something to be, for us to be engaged with it, to know we're engaged with it. But Easy World is so gentle and so subtle that we need to retrain ourselves to appreciate that gentle energy, that the beautiful high that you get from being in Easy World. Because after all, we're all looking for that original high vibrational state of real power. I know I had a rebirthing session with my results therapy friend, practitioner, Mary, and it was really amazing. I was doing my rebirthing breathing and circular breathing, and I got to the point where I was like a high tension wire as far as the energy running through my hands and through my whole body. It was just like, it was all I could do to gasp out to her, let me hold your hands. You need some of this energy. And she just said, oh no, hold my head. So I held her head, and she just about started to vibrate from it. Like, you could almost visibly see her vibrating. It's when you are releasing resistance and moving higher and higher vibrationally, which is what happens when you allow Easy World. Talk about a buzz. I mean, if people are seeking that buzz of experience, of feeling the energy, you know, they think that how they're going to get it is through engaging in Difficult World, because it's a very harsh energy and you really, really feel it right away. But if you move into Easy World and if you follow your spirit to Easy World, you will absolutely get the most amazing, if you want to put it in those terms, buzz. And it moves you. People think, oh, well, being in balance is so boring. And, you know, being in peace and calm, that sounds so boring. But what they don't realize is that when you get to that point, you move higher to where a whole new realm of fascination opens up, shall we say. Like a whole new realm of opportunity to do amazing, fascinating things open up. But when you're following your ego and following Difficult World and trying to follow that reverse polarity energy, you always end up in a crash. And we can all testify to that, right? You end up in a big crash. And when you follow the energy, when you follow the love energy into Easy World, you follow it to greater and greater and greater bliss. So I'm not really sure how I got off on that, but I figure somebody must need to hear it. So thank you very much, Fritz. Teresa, you were not able to be here last week, so you probably hadn't considered it as a home play assignment, but if you have something to share about your history with Easy World or anything we've already said, we'd be happy to hear it. Teresa, are you there? All right, maybe Teresa's not there. So I'm going to call on you, Brenda.
I'm still here.
Great.
It's an interesting question, and then I was wondering if you were talking about before we were born or before difficult world started to take over, but...
Both.
Yeah, okay, so...
Any of it.
I can imagine that it must have been very cool, because I had a death experience too, but it was in a dream, and it was a past life kind of an experience, and it was exactly what you said. You are just consciousness. There's no ego, and I was just looking around at everything with interest, and there was nothing there to look at anyway, but it was just very interesting. And from that point on, I never had my fear of death is just gone. Doesn't matter. So that was really neat, but the really super cool thing for me when I was growing up and had a hard time growing up was where I lived. I lived on the first place I lived in BC, which was basically where we were backed up against a big, beautiful mountain. And there was another mountain behind that one. So me and my brother called them the first and second hill. I think that's what the kids in the neighborhood called it. In BC, our hills are, you know, they're not the Rockies. They're smaller mountains.
British Columbia, BC.
Yeah, yeah. So I would go up there, and in that region where I lived, which was Kamloops at the time, Kamloops in the interior of British Columbia, and in that area, you can even just drive through on the highway and not even roll your windows down, and you'll smell the sagebrush because there's so much of it everywhere. And it's a very, the mountain sage there is very, it's special to me in so many ways. But, you know, I know you talk a lot about aromatherapy. That's one of the ways to get into Easy World. And that, when I smell that sagebrush, I am so there in an instant. And I didn't even know it was used as a medicine in my own culture back then. I didn't know that because I was raised adopted. I didn't know anything about the native side of me. But I have since learned that. That is absolutely one of our medicines. But I used to go up there just to smell it. I would touch the leaves because then it would smell even more powerful. And I would just sit up there in the hills or walk around and that was enough to put me in Easy World, and I would just be in Easy World every time I was up there in those hills and smelling that sagebrush. That's my most powerful experience, I think, as a child. And then growing up, a part of that, too, was I've always been a singer, and I am one now, but as you know. But when I wasn't singing in front of people yet, which was all the way until I was 17 years old, I would go up in those hills and sing. I would go, you know, I'd go anywhere that there were no people, and I would sing, and I would also hum. And I find, even now, if I feel nervous, like maybe I'm around some situation that I feel bad energy around, like I don't know, somebody's yelling at somebody or something. I will almost always automatically start humming very quietly to myself. It's automatic now. It's like it's ingrained into me to do it. And I know that's one of my teachings, for sure, being that's what I do. And I know it works. And so humming absolutely puts me there.
I love that. So you found Easy World through aromatherapy and through vocal expression before you even knew that was an actual technique.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, it's only an actual technique because it's a natural thing that we do. So I put a label on it. But that's cool. I think we all are, we all arose from Easy World, and we all are trying to get back there, even if we don't understand what we're doing and we don't understand what the snares and the pitfalls are of walking in two worlds at once. And so we have these innate power tools, and I actually talk about those in Recreating Eden a little bit more, that we have these power tools, and when we use them, it brings our vibration up, and we are back to the level of Easy World, or the Garden of Eden, or Paradise, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, you instinctively knew to sing, to move mm-hmm. yourself back there. So we all, you know, you see kids spinning in circles. Almost every kid I've ever known, including myself, holds their arms out to the side and goes or spins around and around in circles, sort of like a dervish, only without the control and without the good method for not falling over, because I think most kids end up falling down. But that's because spinning is a way of centering and raising vibration. That's one way. And they sing. I remember vividly being at the YMCA once when the women's dressing room was being remodeled. We had to use the family dressing room where children of all ages were allowed. And I was in there one night, and these two girls, I guess they were about sixth grade, were just talking about their day, only they weren't talking about it. They were singing it. They were singing as either one of them had something to say. Instead of speaking it, they would sing it. It's just kids know that singing is a power tool without consciously being aware of what they're doing. So, very cool, Ms. Brenda. Thank you for that. Okay, Zippy, you were not here last week, but if you have something you want to share, we would love to hear it. Is Zippy there? All right, well, we'll move along, and if these people show up back up later, then we'll check in with them again. All right, here's the second homework assignment that I thought was pretty fun, and that is, if you won the lottery, what would you spend the money on? And to notice which things were for pure pleasure and which things were to allay your fears. So, I'm going to start back at the top. Jack, do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts about that. One of the things is art glass. I love art glass. I am absolutely amazed at the talent that some people have to take glass and turn it into something utterly beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, beyond all the practical things, paying off debts and things like that, I would buy art glass just because it's so beautiful and I'm so amazed by the talent it takes to create it. It inspires my creativity when I see things like that.
I love that. Very cool. So did you notice that any of the things that were on your list were reptilian brain-directed wishes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The biggest one is buying a house and paying cash for it so no one can ever take it away.
Uh-huh.
That's totally fear-based. And it's about, a lot of my unconscious patterns around money are really based on survival fears.
Uh-huh.
Feeling safe. And that's been a big one for me, is feeling safe in life, because I've had so many experiences that showed that my safety could be threatened, even though I had an experience that showed me that it's never threatened. There, still, life has shown me the opposite. So there's this underlying program running in the background that says you have to ensure that you're safe. And money is a great way to bring that out in the open, because our system runs on it. Having had my home taken away, one of the big ones is to buy a home and pay cash so it can't be taken away, so that I know that me and my kids always have a home.
But you realize how false that is, because anything could happen to that house, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, I don't mean, I'm not saying you're not how can I put this? You understand I'm not disrespecting your need and your thing that you're saying. I'm just saying when you look at it, though, from the standpoint of easy world versus difficult world, you do realize that in difficult world, when you choose something in the difficult world mode, your ego is telling you you need it for security, but there is no security in difficult world.
Exactly.
None at all.
Exactly. Yeah, anything could happen to that house. Just
yeah.
because you own it doesn't mean you can't lose it. And
right.
the difference between looking at it from a fearful ego standpoint or looking at it from the easy world standpoint, in easy world, what you need is always provided, just not always in the way that you expect.
Right.
And I've experienced that too. But as far as, yeah, if I won the lottery, there are probably an equal balance of things that I would spend the money on because of fear and things I would spend the money on just for the joy of it.
Yeah. Well, that's very, how shall I say, big of you to admit, because I think that's the truth with everyone. I think we're all like that. So,
Julia, may I inject something here? This is Teresa.
Hey, Teresa, you absolutely may.
I just hit an aha moment with the comments about the house and no mortgage means it's safe. And I was taken back to a time when I made the decision to leave the corporate world and become self-employed. And my biggest fear was that I wouldn't have the security. And now looking back on it, I'm going, but wait a minute, the security was never there because I was at the whim and wish of another person anyway. And when I'm self-employed, I get to do it my own self, and I'm really more secure being self-employed than I was in the corporate world.
There you go.
And I'm sitting here going, that applies. It's the same with the house. I mean, you know, it's that was just a big aha moment. So I just wanted to express my appreciation for that.
Thank
well, Jacqueline, you can accept that appreciation.
Thank you.
You know, it's so so true that the only security that there is an easy world, period. There's none in difficult world. We can, you know, we can try to work it and manipulate it and figure it out and try to claim it, but it's really, there is no security in difficult world. The only security is in love, and love is the medium upon which easy world runs. And so when you trust in love and you trust in the well-being supportive forces of easy world completely, that is total security. That is, it makes me, I'm just getting choked up thinking about it. That is the only security that there is, period. So we.
It's a lot more fun.
Well, yeah.
It's
a whole lot more fun.
It's a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
You reminded me of the stroke I experienced a year ago, and there was nothing in difficult world that could stop that stroke. The paramedics did all that they could, and they could not stop the stroke. Easy world could stop the stroke, and did. When I let go of resistance and fighting against what was happening, and I surrendered to spirit and easy world, at that instant, the stroke event ended. Difficult world did not have the tools. It did not have the power to stop that stroke. Easy world did.
That's amazing.
Or bronchitis.
Amazing. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Okay. Cheryl, did you want to share about your lottery winnings?
Absolutely. When I win the lotto, or the lottery, the first thing I really think I would want to do, because I love family and I love friends and I love bringing people together, is I would throw a huge party, a huge reunion or a family reunion, or just like have everybody to my house. I've always wanted to be able to do that, you know, have everything catered so I don't have to do anything. Just bringing everybody together who haven't, you know, usually you don't see each other except on, you know, weddings and funerals. And so that would be one thing. I love antiques. I love all kinds of paintings and artwork and I could spend days and days in antique shops. My kids will tell you that I drive them crazy. So I know I would spend a lot of money, you know, on that kind of thing to surround my house with, you know, beautiful works of art. Another thing I'm very passionate about is rescuing dogs. So I would love to be involved in that. As far as what kind of, you know, things I would, decisions I would make based on fear, it would be along the lines of what Jacqueline was saying, you know, that wanting that financial stability, wanting that security, wanting to know that, okay, I've got this money, I don't want to lose it, so I'm going to have to make some really good investments in stocks or you know, whatever. And so any decisions I made, again, around money, I think would be the only ones that really would have to do with fear. You know, I am working through, you know, those unconscious things. I mean, growing up, you hear, you know, it's ingrained in you, all these things about money, money, money. But if I'm in Easy World, I'm not worrying. I'm not going to worry about money. I'm going to,
The question came up for me very powerfully when you were saying your first things, is you live in Easy World where you can do those things if you really want to do them. Easy World will work them out for you.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right.
You know, that's the.
I don't have to win the lotto.
No, you don't have to win the lotto. That's sort of the point of this exercise is like. I have this note on my bulletin board that an affirmation that I came up with, because the only reason I want money is to have options, to feel empowered with options. So I have on my bulletin board next to my desk, I have the options of a billionaire.
Oh, that's awesome.
In Easy World. And Rick wrote at the bottom of it, he added on to my note, he said, but not the taxes. So here is an advantage to Easy Roll right there. You can have the options of a billionaire without the taxes.
That's awesome.
So, you know, when your riches are in Easy World, nobody can tax them. And we are all wealthy gazillionaires in Easy World, and we can have and be and do anything we want to in Easy World. And my other thing that I was going to say, Cheryl, to what you said, just flew out of my head. So I'm going to say thank you for sharing with that and move along. And if I think of it, I might come back to it. So let's see, Barbara, are you here or are you gone? All right, I think Barbara left us, so that's fine. Fritz. What if you won the lottery? Did you get any insights from that question? And what part of it was because of not trusting an Easy World that you might have wanted?
Well, I particularly like your idea. I live like a. I had the options of a billionaire, and my thinking is in Easy World that. Money comes to me easily, and I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it because I usually have enough for what I want. I tend to live a beer life on a champagne budget, shall we say. In other words, I keep my desires below my income, so I always have enough money to do what I want to do.
Interesting. I know what I was going to say before, that one of the things about our ideas about money and difficult world and easy world is, I think it was Cheryl was talking about having to manage her money so that she wouldn't be taking any, you know, untenable risks, that she would make sure she didn't lose her money and all that stuff. And I think what Easy Roll calls us to do is utilize all of our resources without fear of running out, knowing that when we open up to Easy World energy, that Easy Roll replenishes everything, and that truly the real billionaires of the world have always taken mega risks, and many of them have lost as much money as they've made over the years, but they're so in tune with the ease of the flow of abundance that it's no big deal. It doesn't knock them off the horse, and they say, well, I'm never getting on that horse again. No, they just get right back up and do it again. And,
well, in my first marriage, I lost my house and both cars and just about everything, and within a short period of time, I had another car, and I had another house, and it all came back to me. Just like a country song that you run backwards where you get your car, your house, your job, everything. Backwards.
I love that. Well, thanks, Fritz. Teresa, did you want to share anything? I know you weren't here for the assignment last week, but anything about...
I wasn't here for the assignment last week, but one thing that I think I did anyway, I must have picked up on you guys and your wavelengths. one of the things that I do, I'm going to go back to the first question about the history, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I do for myself as part of my self-care routine is that before I go to sleep at night, and the first thing when I wake up in the morning, I have a conversation with my inner child, and that's something I was taught to do a lot many years ago, and I've kept that routine. And it's really, really interesting because recently when my inner child feels like she needs to stomp her foot and be in difficult world, I've been reminding and teaching my inner child about easy world.
Ah.
And, you know, it really has helped. And I was doing that before. I didn't even know that was the assignment, but it sounds like that's something that I must have been picking up on you guys.
Yeah, great idea.
It's really interesting because when you look at things through the eyes of your inner child and look at the what seems to be the unfairness of life or the difficulties that child experienced, and when you reframe it in terms of easy world, it's a very healing process.
Going to the doctor tomorrow.
Oh, I love that. That's very cool, Teresa. I used to teach lots of inner child classes because I needed them as much or more than anybody else. So I can totally relate with that. And, you know, your inner child may be the wounded inner child, but your inner child is also your amazing, unadulterated spirit. So
right.
Very empowering to communicate with your inner child. And if anybody wants, I have some inner child resources online. If anybody wants them, email me and I'll send them about how to talk to your inner child, dialoguing with your inner child, and that kind of stuff. So thank you, Ms. Teresa. Brenda.
Okay, Brenda. What was the question? What was the question again?
What were some insights you got from considering about winning the lottery?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I remember I remember my reaction when you said that. I remember just my immediately DWD taking over and me just hunching over going, oh, my God. Because I was thinking completely about right away about needs. It was just like Jacqueline was talking about with the house. It's the same situation with me. I thank you, Jacqueline, for that too, because that was a good aha for me. And but then there was the other stuff, which really did come as soon as I realized where I was going with this, and turning around and going, oh well, no, really, if I had that kind of money and I could just, if I really felt like I could just blow money, and you know, with purpose for myself, there's all kinds of really cool stuff I'd be doing, like, and a lot of it would be to help me to be able to do more of what I love doing, which is singing and sharing that with people. So, I mean, I would probably...
I didn't know it cost money to sing, Brenda.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only money that it costs... No, it costs to sing if you're in a recording studio doing it and creating CDs and stuff. And I would love to do that just to be able to... like, I know my last project cost me a lot of money, and I would love to... And it's still, like, you could spend... gazillions more on creating music and in a studio. And I would love to just be able to do that, go to some really cushy
and so
posh.
Why
building.
Not? So why aren't you? So are you willing to open up to let difficult, to, excuse me, let Easy World handle that for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely something to consider, you know, because we tend to think we need the medium that is what gets us things in difficult world to have the joys that are really only found in Easy World. So why wouldn't Easy World support that? And I can tell you, Brenda's singing and Brenda's music is so powerful and so uplifting. You need to go to BrendaMcIntyre.com and listen to the MP3, the samples of her singing and stuff, and get on her mailing list, because she is a powerful, powerful healing singer. And, you know, Easy World is absolutely going to support that, but you have to allow it and not be afraid that it doesn't, you know, it's not going to rush in to support you. And that's something we all have to get to in our own way, in our own time, of opening up to that and trusting in that and so on. But I'm just telling you, Brenda, there's, you know, nothing that you could get from the lottery that you can't get from Easy World, especially to support a powerful, uplifting mission. So there. There's your lecture for tonight, Brenda.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm experiencing that too, I'm having the push-pull, so it's an interesting subject to come up, because I am going through a major, major shift with bringing something so cool into the world, and it's like a childbirth. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, everything's lining up, and so it's a matter of being there for it too, and allowing myself, I know, to actually stay in Easy World with it when all the Easy World stuff comes rushing in.
That's, you know, I know you're up to it, girl. I know you're up to it. All right, Pippi. I know you didn't get the assignment from last week, but I think you've kind of gotten the gist of a conversation now. Do you have anything you wanted to add? Okay, I guess Pippi is gone too. All right, so the other thing that I had asked you to do was to notice when you're in difficult world, which sounds like the simplest assignment in the world, but did anybody experience that as being an interesting kind of a challenge? Jacqueline, did you pay attention to that?
Yes, I paid attention. And I got a great opportunity when I received a message that at first felt like a personal attack. And I was able to recognize that ego was bruised and wanted to respond in kind. And it was just really cool to have the awareness of when my fearful ego is being activated, and to be able to choose whether I was going to respond from a bruised little ego or respond from my heart. So that was a really great example for me, so that it becomes more of a habit, more of a regular occurrence, that I recognize, oh, my ego just got bruised and it wants to lash out. I don't have to do that.
Yep. I'm so pleased that people are starting to rise up out of their difficult world amnesia to really recognize when that's happening, so that they make a choice, you know, because you can't make a choice if you don't know you need to make one, or if you don't want know that there is one to be made. So cool. All right, we're going to go fast here because we're running short. Cheryl, did you have any noticing time for to know if you were in difficult world this past week?
First, I just wanted to tell you that I loved what you I really loved what you said about there's nothing that Easy World can't do for you. As opposed to, say, winning the lottery. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was great. For myself, I have a pretty good it's pretty easy for me to stay in Easy World, honestly. Like, it's just clicked with me, and I really get it. My challenge comes when, I'll give you an example. I was driving in the car with my husband, and he is, unfortunately, not in Easy World, especially when there's traffic. And so we were driving in the car, and, you know, I'm happy. There's traffic. You know what? It's a nice day. We're going to be at the ball game soon. This is a wonderful day. And, you know, he's over on the other side of the seat in Difficult World. You know, there's traffic. We're never going to get there, blah, blah, blah. So for me, that became a little bit of a challenge, staying in Easy World, not reacting, and not, you know, not being affected by, you know, and just recognizing, oh, he's in Difficult World, poor guy.
And he's inviting me in, and I'm saying no.
Yeah. You keep knocking. I'm not coming in. So,
But of course.
So I've become very aware of, you know, when I talk to people, when I meet people, you know, I was at work this morning, and this woman, you know, I come in. I just got one foot in the door, and she grabbed me. You know, her father had a heart attack. This person, you know, her mother died in December. For 45 minutes, she didn't stop, and the whole time I was thinking, wow, she's in Difficult World. So I am really finding that I can recognize people where they are, you know, if they're in Easy World or not. I choose to stay in Easy World, so.
Well, you know, of course, you have to also recognize that if you're truly in Easy World, you won't be encountering people who are deeply in Difficult
exactly.
World.
Exactly. Exactly.
But,
of course, he's my husband, and I live with him, so it's kind of hard to avoid him.
Well, I know. I get in the same kind of thing in the car, and I'm saying, sweetie, just, you know, take it easy. But the testosterone's going, and it's like, he cut me off or whatever. Rick, please don't yell at me for divulging this. I'm not an Easy role myself during much of this. I play my part, but... I think that it's just important for us not to be angry with ourselves for not being able to stay in Easy World when the Difficult World dictator of someone else is inviting us in, but to just keep choosing Easy World, just keep breathing, relax, and allow, and moving our vibration up so that in terms of what Abraham says, when you zig, they'll zag, and you just won't cross paths with people in Difficult World. More, I think, actually more illustrative is not zigging and zagging, but you're at a higher vibrational level where you're on channel one, and you won't even be aware of what's going on channel two when you move high enough on the vibrational scale.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, but we're all straddling the worlds here, and this isn't a race to get back to Easy World full time. We're still enjoying Difficult World, or we wouldn't still be in it. You know, if we weren't still getting some kind of thrill out of some aspects of Difficult World, we would be totally in Easy World. So it's just a matter of figuring out how to choose our options so that our experience is more to our liking. It's not to just, you know, completely move into paradise and never look back, because if we wanted to do that, we could. I don't think we're ready for that. So, yes. Anyway, if Fritz has something to say about this, Fritz, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm here. Nothing comes to
That's
my
fine.
Mind right at the moment, but...
That's fine. Okay, so Teresa...
I'm good.
Brenda?
I'm good, and thank you so much for this.
Okay. Well, I wonder if it's time to stop. I don't know. I have still some more things on here, about 5 minutes worth. Let me just say that what I realized after last week's class that I did not say, that I didn't even think to say, is that when we're making the analogy of moving to Easy World being like, excuse me, immigrating into a a new country where we think we'll find more freedom and opportunity and, you know, be able to see our dream, make our dreams come true, see our dreams come true. What people really are looking for when they seek to emigrate from the old world where they're being oppressed, they're really looking for easy world, right? Think about it. They're not necessarily wanting to move to America or move to Canada or move to, you know, some other country they think has what it is that will make their dreams come true. What they're really wanting is easy world, and they're figuring that they can go to this place and live more of an easy world life. And I thought that was profound. We don't have to go anywhere to be an easy world, although there are absolutely some places on the planet that are more supportive of it if you're open to it, you know, like you can be in living in easy world if you live in North Korea, but it might be easier if you move somewhere that is more openly, overtly supportive of freedom and so on. But you can also be in difficult world in the freest nation on earth. So, you know, it's not about the physical place that you go. You can be in easy world and have all those things that you're longing for no matter where you are. The other thing that I wanted to say is that when you are an immigrant and you move to a new world, it takes time to transition out of old customs. And if we're looking at this analogy of moving from difficult world to easy world and becoming an easy world citizen again, then we're going to need to transition out of our old world customs. And we're not going to just be able to dump them all at once. We have got to decide which ones are fit for bringing into our new lives and which ones we'd like to leave behind. And we've talked about this before, that there's a difficult world heavy and difficult world light. Difficult world light is enjoying, watching Sex and the City or something like that. Difficult world heavy is being in a dysfunctional, abusive relationship with somebody who's beating you up and who's, you know, dealing drugs or running a crack den in your house. You know, there are varying degrees of duality and friction and difficult world. So it's important that we choose what it is that we still want of the difficult world customs and allow ourselves to keep those until we just naturally decide they don't fit anymore. And you may have, I'm sure that immigrant families bring their old world customs and some of them stick and some of them they just let them fall by the way because their new world customs take their place. So we can look at our moving into easy world in the same way, and we can trust that the new customs of easy world will just naturally displace the difficult world customs, many of them at least. And I know we've all had that experience who have been on a conscious spiritual journey, that things that may have appealed to us 20 years ago would totally be not interesting at all or almost repulsive to us now, or things that we might have tolerated before we would never tolerate now because they just don't fit who we are. And things that may have been very present in our experience just vanish, and you look back and you go, oh gosh, I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten that I was addicted to cigarettes or whatever it is, you know, whatever the thing is that you left behind. And, you know, just it sort of evaporated from your consciousness. So as we move into our new easy world lives, we need to give ourselves permission to keep some of the old world customs and trust that we can let them go at the pace that we can let them go. And we can also decide which of those customs are really impeding us from fully moving into easy world, and know that that's the difficult world dictator trying to hang on to us, trying to keep us mired in difficult world and practice our difficult world dictator management techniques, which is embrace, accept, allow, and to know that love will transform anything as long as we're not in resistance. So sort of like, you know, embracing whatever it is that you find is going on will always neutralize that difficult world dictator so that you can move higher on the vibrational scale, and that's when you'll start finding that things that were hanging you up just will evaporate of their own. There's so much more I could talk about with this citizenship analogy, but I think we're going to end this here, and if anyone has any comment or question they'd like to bring up right now, we just have another couple minutes, and then
Chris, I've got a comment. When we're in difficult world, we can be very grateful difficult world because
wait a minute, Chris, you're breaking up here.
Okay, a difficult world is a place where we can note that we're there, and we can simply say, "Now I'm in difficult world. That's cool," and then we can breathe, relax, and we can handle these difficult things in easy world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you move into easy world, all the difficulties are sort of neutralized.
So you know, I'm grateful for the two divorces I had, because now I'm an expert in divorces, and I know how to not get into the next one. I'm grateful for that.
All right. That works. Okay, anybody else have a comment or a question or anything to discuss before we call this to a conclusion?
Sure, what you just said was incredible. That whole last 5 minutes was like the cherry on the cake for me.
Oh, cool. I'm happy to hear that. That's awesome.
Julia, I have something.
Go ahead.
This is Jacqueline.
Yes.
On the whole thing about winning the lottery, another great question is, what would I stop doing if I won the lottery? What am I doing now that's more ego-driven than spirit-driven will come to the surface when I think about, what would I not do anymore if I won the lottery?
Yeah. What's a good example of that?
For me, it's some of the things that I was doing online, and I actually asked myself that question a little while back. Some of the things that I was doing for business that I thought I had to do to promote my business and to make money online, I didn't feel good about doing them. I did them because that's what the experts said you have to do, but they weren't a fit for me. They weren't in harmony with me, so I had great resistance to doing them, and I didn't enjoy it. So I asked myself, if I won the lottery today, what would I stop doing tomorrow? And I took that, and I actually reduced my online activities. I left several networks. I stopped some of the things that I had to do for marketing. And the result was not only having greater peace within myself, but actually being able to interact with people in a more meaningful way because I wasn't so overwhelmed.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's, we do so many things because we believe that we're supposed to, or some expert knows better than we do what it is we're supposed to do because we feel clueless. But that's only because we're polarized in the difficult world. And what we need to do is breathe, relax, allow, and enjoy, because enjoyment's the sign that we're where we belong in the design for harmony. And we can trust that if we're in the design for harmony, we're being completely provided for at all times. And we're so scared of that because these desperate, difficult world dictators are telling us, you're going to die. You're going to be killed on the street when you're homeless and you have nothing to eat, and you're going to be this, that, and the other. Bad is going to happen if you don't do this thing. You've got to do it now. Get it done or you're going to not have any money. And, oh, my, you know, I can just go on. I can channel that DWD. It is all a pack of lies. It's a pack of lies meant to keep us in difficult world, and after all, that's what we employed the DWD to do, is keep us in difficult world. So you say, way to go. You are scaring me to death. What a good job you're doing. Wow. And I don't believe you, because I live in easy world where everything is easy. And I am totally provided for an easy world. And it's all fine. You know, easy world will give you everything you allow it to. It'll give you everything, but you've got to allow it to. And that means to turn down that voice of the DWD by just turning up the love. And Jacqueline, I see you doing that. You're so powerful, and you're so on the verge of, like, I see a slot machine in Vegas, and I see the, you know, the three cherry lining up.
Mm-hmm.
I see you so close to that, and it's a joy. It's a joy to see all of us evolving and taking more easy world into ourselves and seeing that the changes that it's making that are real and are, you know, hugely empowering. And we all of us who are in this class or listening to this class later are all doing this because we're being called by Easy World to blaze a trail for other people to be in Easy World and to know about it. So it's thrilling to me to see us all breathing in Easy World, and even if we're in difficult world some of the time, we are moving in a conscious, intentional way into a whole new Easy World life, and it's a thrill. So I thank you all for participating and for being a part of this adventure and being the pioneers and the trailblazers in moving into this new country or new world that we're creating together in Easy World. And so with that, let us radiate love for 10 seconds together. Just breathe in and relax. Allow the love within you to coalesce and draw love from source. Coalesce in your heart into an orb of light like the sun. And I'm going to ring the chime. And when I ring the chime, you can start allowing love to flow in every direction at once without aiming it at anyone, without thinking about anyone, just simply thinking about keeping that love going out, radiating in every direction. And so take a nice deep breath in, and when you release it, begin to radiate love. So in, okay, thank you, and namaste, everyone, and good night.